I know it's been busy. Again, I said it Sunday, and I'll say it again, that it seems like we went through Thanksgiving and had to just literally put the brakes on it to celebrate Christmas because of how busy everything has been. And now we're at the threshold of a brand new year, and we're excited about the new year. And we know that, I said it Sunday night in the closing prayer, that for the Christian, every day is a new day. God's mercies are new. Every morning they're new, Lamentation says. But it's just something about the start of a new year. I don't know, maybe it has more to do with the human side of us, but we're looking forward to it, the new year, and Calvary, and the things that the Lord's going to do here and continue to do, the things that the Lord's going to do at the children's home. We're excited about that. Hey, we're excited about what the Lord's going to do at Brother Allen's church and Miss Tammy and where they're at. And the Lord is on the move across the nation and the world. And so we're just excited about what he's going to do. Tonight I wanted us to meet in here, and I'm thankful for all that showed up and the younger folks as well. in fact, it was CJ and Amanda's idea, but they just helped bring that out of many thoughts we had about tonight. But they mentioned just jotting down all the Sunday school teachers, those who hold position here at the church, and really just as we did Sunday night, but here again on New Year's Eve, just take some time and no restraints, not being rushed or hurried, but just mentally and from our heart and minds, just go through each and every Sunday school room, you know, here in the sanctuary, but within our hearts and minds, just visit those places, each and every place, and then visit the children's home in your mind and heart, and Brother Allen's church, Miss Tammy, and many homes and people that's been visiting here. We're going to spend some time in prayer and just visit with them in our minds and hearts tonight. And I think it'll be great. What I want to do is we will open up like we do normally for a brief moment and take prayer requests and praises. But I want to save the prayer time to after the lesson tonight. And so maybe someone does have a prayer request or a praise, something I'd like to mention before we, Brother David in the back. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. My grandmother was here Sunday night, and my great aunt and uncle. And that was a long time prayer of mine, but they were able to be here. And I just want to say that Sunday night I had one of the worst headaches, borderline migraines I've had in a long time. When I started preaching, I was seeing double and was ready to double over, but as God does, he touched me, and we made it through it just fine and went home and just relaxed, and everything was well. So thank you for your prayers on that. Anybody else tonight? Prayer request, a praise?
Amen. He'll lead us to the right house if that's what he sees fit, you know, to happen. So
absolutely.
He's asking for the church to help us out on that.
Amen. Let's remember this request. Miss Connie?
We have a dear neighbor. She hasn't lived next to together with her son for health issues. But she'll be 83 in April. We've known her for 40 plus years, and I talked to her yesterday. She never came out and said it, but I know from what she did, she's been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. Mm. Now, this is not a drinking condition. You know, there's other ways
right.
to get cirrhosis. And, she's very sick. She's homebound. She can't even fix a meal anymore. Her son takes care of her, but he's a teacher slash coach over at Harrison, and he's a single man. So he's got his plate full working
yes.
and taking care of his mom, too. And she is a good Christian lady. And she's a prayer warrior, so we need to be prayer warriors for her. Name. Her name is Sally.
Absolutely.
Wonderful
let's remember this request. Let's remember Brother Don Nettles. Friday he's going for gallbladder surgery. And Jim Evans is also having surgery, Dolores Palmer's brother, on Friday, both at Kennestone. Anybody else? Yes, Miss. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise that it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Right.
When they got in there, so that was great.
Well, praise the Lord for that. Absolutely. A lot of prayer was invested in that
yeah.
surgery. Anybody else? Miss Claudia? Yes. Just remember Miss Carrie, and she has a cancer spot on her kidney. Miss Darlene.
I have some unspoken prayer requests.
Okay. Unspoken prayer requests from Miss Darlene. Anybody else unspoken? You can raise your hand. And God sees and knows it all. Remember Brother Harold's brother in his physical elements. Anybody else? Let's remember, of course, Brother Don Rich and him and Miss Carl is at home. They're listening. He told me they would be, and his knee and some things going on along those lines. I think he's even trying to get a cold, too. So let's remember him, Brother Jack. He's battling the same thing others are. And so, Brother Brian, he's at home. He's, I believe he's pretty much worked himself sick for the Lord. But let's just remember everyone around this time of year and all of the sicknesses. Okay. Again, nice crowd tonight. And thank you for coming for our Tuesday night New Year's Eve service. And again, we're going to have a, I don't want to say sermonette, but we'll go as long as the Lord wants us to. Mention just three simple things starting out the new year, three words, and then we'll have a time of prayer together, and we'll get you home before midnight. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, and we're thankful, Lord, for just the mixed crowd tonight. Father, of all ages, how encouraging it is. And Lord, we're thankful how you blessed during the month of December and the tree lot and all of the works that went into that and the things here at church, communion we had. Lord, all of the fellowships, Sunday school classes and the gifts that were given. And Lord, all the hugs and just the times of togetherness. Lord, those are such a such meaningful times and how that iron sharpeneth iron. Lord, help us as we go into the new year to just continue with the things that we know are true, continue those things, but Lord, also stretch for some other things that maybe we've allowed to lay down and die off possibly. And Father, it's a brand new year, and we just recognize that it's a brand new beginning. Help us to just do that. Go in your strength and your might, following you. We pray for all these requests. You know every heart, every life. And we pray for the unspokens that were, the hands that were raised tonight. You know every need, every situation. I'm reminded, actually, about an unspoken prayer request, how that, in the book of Genesis, how that Hagar, Abraham and Sarah's handmaids, how she ran, and she ran off, and she wept in the wilderness, and she was by a certain well, and the name of that well was named a certain name, and the name means God hears and sees me. I believe it's the well Leho Roma, along those lines. And God, we know that those secret tears, those places in life that we resort to, God, where we get along with you, we know that you see our tears. We know that you bottle our tears. Lord, we're thankful that you know everything that's going on tonight. Be with those who have sent loved ones on to heaven. Comfort those, Lord, who are left behind. And be with all of us tonight in the service, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me say this. Miss Christie was handing out some Sunday school class a paper here with all the names and different people in position. This paper doesn't contain every position, every name, but we did mention as many as we could. And so that's just something to go by when we have our New Year's prayer in just a moment. I want to mention to you tonight for a few moments three essentials for the new year. Three essentials for the new year. And you know these essentials. This is nothing new that haven't heard before. In fact, like one preacher said, if it's new, it's probably not true. If anything, maybe we can just get a fresh glimpse at some truths that we already know. Maybe at a different angle or in a different light. But three essentials for the new year. How should we get started this new year? How should we start things off? Well, again, I want to give you three simple things, and these are three words that you know, I know, and I want to give you some illustrations tonight that I pray will help bring these three words out better so that we can utilize them better in our lives. But three words. The first word is prioritizing, priority. And in fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Now, when we're talking about prioritizing, it gets kind of dangerous because all of us have, I'm sure, so much to do between work and home and school, extracurricular activities, all the rest of it. We're coming out of the holidays and shopping and fellowships, and life can just get busy. And so we come to that place in life where we may feel like that we're being dragged around through life because of all of the responsibilities, all the things that we want to do. And so there has to be some prioritizing, though, when it comes to a new year or a new beginning, each and every day even, there needs to be prioritizing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice if you would in verse number 11, the Bible talks about busybodies. He says in verse number 11, 2 Thessalonians 3, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Again, it's easy to be a busybody, a person that's busy in their body. And we know that there's much things that we do that probably we shouldn't do as much, and others we should do a little bit more. But life has a way of putting a strain and a stress upon us, especially if we want to do good at life, especially if we want to be responsible people. And we're upholding the name of Jesus in our life, and we're family people, and we have jobs and careers and things along those lines. But I looked at the word busybodies today, and it basically means to bustle about uselessly. To bustle about uselessly. And so he says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." They are walking about, they're bustling about uselessly, which means they don't have no point to what they're doing. They're just busy. And I found out in life sometimes when I get that way of being just busy and there's really no point to what I'm doing other than just doing this, I need to do that, and the momentum's building and I'm getting stressed, I'm getting strained, I find out that some of those things I could leave out. It's just when we're busy and when we're going after life, it has a way of just snowballing upon us if we're not careful. I think about the story in Luke 10:40 of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You know the story. In how that Martha was hosting a dinner for Jesus. And Lazarus was there. Martha, of course, was there. And Mary was there. But Martha, the Bible says, she was cumbered about with much serving. The word cumbered about, it means to be dragged, literally to be dragged about every which way. It means also to be overly occupied. And so we see three people in this story. We see Lazarus, he's at the table. And we see Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. But Martha wants to make sure that everything is done so-so. She is setting the table. She is in the kitchen. She's checking on Lazarus. She's checking on Jesus. She is serving, but she's serving to such a degree where it is dragging her around mentally. She's in a place where she is just overly occupied. And we see that Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and that was the rightful place to be. We see that there was a priority in this story. Now, Jesus must be served, but also we must sit at Jesus' feet. And in fact, that's how we serve, is by feasting upon his word at his feet. And then we serve in that capacity, that strength that came from that close communion with him. And in fact, when Jesus, Martha kind of flew off the handle at him, and She said, Jesus, why don't you do something about it? My condensed version. Jesus, why don't you do something? You see what I'm doing here. I'm being dragged every which way, and mentally I'm just being dragged. I'm cumbered about all this stuff. Why don't you do something about this? And Jesus actually makes the comment. He says, Martha, thou art troubled over many things. You see, it just took that one occasion to bring out what was underneath. And many times in life when we are overly, again, it is so hard. It is, those of us in ministry, we know. It is, even just those in life in general who have responsibilities know it is easy to get overly occupied. It is so hard to, at times, differentiate what's priority, what's second in line of, and so forth and so on. And sometimes we get to that place, that breaking point. And Mary or Martha got there. She was cumbered about. Have you ever been there before where mentally you were just dragged about, just overly occupied? And that's what took place here. That's what takes place in life if we don't prioritize. The older I get, the more I realize that prioritizing is a practice. It's something that's learned and developed over time where time management comes into play. And you realize, well, I didn't do the best I could do with this amount of time. This wasn't fruitful. This wasn't good for me. So I want to cut this out tomorrow. And now we're in tomorrow, and I manage my time better because I learned here that it wasn't fruitful. And over time, it's just this growing process where we learn what works and we learn what doesn't work. Martha, that night, that day, she learned that being overly occupied mentally, so much crammed into her mind, all these many things, wasn't worth the trouble. Let me say this. This new year, we may have to do some hang-ups on some areas of our life. There may have to be some relationships that we hang up on. You know, those friends possibly that aren't good for us, but we're around them. And listen, that can be all ages, the friend thing. It may be a friendship. It may be, I don't know, some kind of hobby. It may be something or another that is getting in place of doing your best for the Lord. It just may have to go. Maybe a hang-up. Prioritize it. And so we see back in our verse in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, he says, "For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." My prayer for myself this year is, Lord, let me not be a busybody, yet let me work. Does that make sense? Let me not be a busybody, but let me work, and work in such a way where there is productivity, there is fruit being bared. He says that they're working not at all, but are busybodies. Number two tonight, not only the first word as being essential for the new year is the word prioritizing, but the second word is stretching. I'm already tired. I just said the word and I'm tired. Stretching. Stretching is a bit different from prioritizing your life, because it's actually putting those things into play. Now, we're here in 2 Thessalonians. Turn, if you would, to Philippians 3. I had this verse in one of the bulletins here recently. Philippians 3:13, very familiar verse. Of course, we know that Paul's a writer here, but Paul says some things about moving forward in Philippians 3:13. But he says something about stretching. In Philippians 3:13, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or arrived or got it." The full reason why I'm here. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark." You see, stop there in verse 14 for a moment. He says, "I press toward the mark." You know, the mark of where we want to be in 2020, where we want to be in our own personal maturity, growing as a Christian, where we want to be in our own personal families, whatever mark that is, we're pressing toward it, or at least that's the goal. But Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so Paul says he's pressing, he's moving forward for Jesus' sake. He has a calling on his life. He wants to receive everything that Jesus has for him as a result of pressing and going forward with him. But in verse number 13, notice the word reaching here. Reaching. The word reaching, it means to stretch. Paul literally is saying here that I am going to forget some things, but I'm going to reach for some things. So he's either stretching this way or this way. The idea is he's stretching. He is forgetting and he's reaching. So this right here has to do with prioritizing. This has to go. That didn't benefit me. No more trips to McDonald's. No more trips there. This is going. But I do need to get a hold of this. I know this has to go. I know I need to be here. This is the direction, but it's in a strain. And I want to tell you, living life in a strain is hard to do, but it is the way to do it. Paul says, I have to forget some things here, but I have to reach for some things here, but it's going to cost me something. There may have to be some relationships to go. There may have to be some, you know, some hobbies that need to go. There may have to be some of these other things need to go. This needs to go. That needs to go. And I need to replace it with this and grab for this. Listen, life will never change if there is no strain or there is no stress to it. We have to be intentional. We have to, on purpose, reach for things. It's not going to just happen. You know, Jesus desires that his house will be full, but he tells us to go out and compel them to come in. It's not Field of Dreams. If you build it, they'll come. Not the church is not, because he says go out and compel them, bring them in. And so we see that, but there's a stress, there's a strain, there's a reaching here. Have you ever, I don't know, at the desk, at school or at home, You ever worked with rubber bands? You know, in fact, just a moment ago, I was putting a rubber band around some envelopes in the office. And sometimes I try to stretch those rubber bands too far, and they break. And normally it gets my attention because it snaps right there on the top side of my hand. Pop! You know, life is kind of that way. We are like a rubber band, but yet we need to stretch ourselves almost to full capacity. You know, you may break a few rubber bands trying to get to where you need to be. You may encounter some more situations of being dragged about mentally, overly occupied, but you're trying to forget, you're trying to reach, but you may pop. But there may have to be some busted rubber bands. But at least if there is some fumbles spiritually, if there is some times of failure spiritually, at least you are trying. You're trying to stretch. You're trying to retrain yourself. You're trying to move forward. You're trying to do these things in life. Because you know you just can't stay the same. 2019 held its own memories. And 2019 had its own troubles, and 2019 had its own victories, but it's 2020, almost. And in 2020, there's going to have to be some stretching for me, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, parentally, maritally, all the other leaves. There just has to be some stretching. And I don't know about you, but I want to be different. I don't feel like I've reached my full potential. You know, I want to grow. I want to change. I want to do better at life, everything in life. I want to be the best representative of Jesus that I possibly can. But there's a price to pay. Will we accept the mundane? Will we get comfortable in our ruts? Or will we decide to rock that baby out of the rut, get that four-wheeler back on the dry ground so we can catch traction and go? That's what Paul is trying to say here. He's saying that we need to forget the past and reach forth into those things which are before. But it requires stretching. I like this saying. It says, vision without action is a dream. But action without vision is a nightmare. Okay? Vision without action is just a dream. There's a lot of dreamers. But action without no vision is a nightmare. There has to be some coming down of walls. There has to be some moving forward. There has to be some stretching. One more thing, and then we'll change the service to prayer time. Prioritizing is an essential for the new year. Stretching is an essential for the new year. But then continuing is an essential for the new year. Let's start this new year off by just having priority list, and then let's put that into shoe leather, starting with me. Put it into shoe leather, you know, stretch, and then when we get about 2 or 3 months into the new year, when we feel like retreating a little, just continue on, because we know success will follow. Look at 2 Timothy 3:14 for a moment, or just follow along. 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul tells Timothy this. He says, but continue. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let me say this about this verse. Paul is telling Timothy, listen, there are some things that you learned that you know are true. Continue with those things. He's saying there are some things that there were some situations you were in. There's some things you learned that you were assured of. Continue with those things that God has assured your heart of. Let me say this. Everybody is not going to understand your heart tonight. But if God has assured your heart of something, it doesn't matter who understands it or not. If God has assured your heart, you continue with that assurance. He says, continue with that assurance. Continue with the things you've learned. Then he says, of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now we know that Paul was Timothy's mentor. And we know that Timothy had a mother and a grandmother, Eunice and Lois, and that were influential in his life with faith and this upbringing. So Paul had a lot of teachers and Timothy had a lot of teachers and instructors. He said, Timothy, you know who you followed God. You could take that to the bank. You know the things you've learned from them are truth. You know that you were assured of some things through them, and because you know who they were. You've seen their walk and their faithfulness. You know that those are true things. He says, continue in those things. Continue. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then again, the ultimate assurer of whom we learn is the Lord. Again, so whatever God has told you, don't allow men to cast doubt upon that. We see that there's a continuing. Does anybody in here like peaches? Hey, me too, darling. Others, peaches. I mean, we're living in Georgia, you know, the peach state. I've even done business before with, I think, Peachtree Pest Control, Peachtree. You know, there's a street, Peachtree Street. Georgia's all about peaches. But did you know how long it takes for a peach tree to bear peaches? If you were to plant a, from my looking, from my studying on peaches, without getting hungry. In fact, when I was looking at this, I ate an apple, Miss Nancy, so I'm doing good. If you plant a baby peach tree, one that's ready for planting, it will take at least in between 4 to 6 years before the fruit comes. 4 to 6 years. We want to see results, don't we? In our homes, in our church, you know, jobs. We want to see results. We work hard, don't we? Everybody in here, you work hard at something or multiple things. You work hard at it. You want results. The older I get, the more I understand that I got to have patience for those results. And I can't faint while waiting on those results. The same way that it takes 4 to 6 years for those peaches, by the time we get one, man, that's a good peach. That's a good peach pie, you know. But it took a while to get there. And listen, it may be in our own personal homes, there needs to be some reprioritizing in 2020 and some stretching going from here to there and then continuing when we want to get fatigued. But guess what? Keep your eye on the fruit that's coming. The Bible promises us that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He tells us in Galatians 6:9 to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, we're not aimlessly going through life. It is not in vain that we're here tonight. God is planting seeds and God is strengthening us through fellowship. And when we leave here and the things that we do in his name, in his honor and glory, it is all for a purpose. It may take a little while. It may take a little while for the church, Calvary Baptist Church, to eventually build up. But it's building. Things are happening. But God is telling me it's going to take some continuation, 110% every time. Give it time. Be faithful. And over time, you'll see it. Now, we know we're living in the last days, and we know that there's a falling away, and there's people going after the world, and the love of many has waxed worse and worse, and brother against brother, and all of those things, and homes are being destroyed. But God still has a church. He still wants a place where people can go to hear the truth, unwatered down, not political, but biblical. And I want to say tonight that God will build his church with as few or as many as he wants to, but regardless of how few or how many, I want this church to know tonight, I want you guys to know, regardless of how few, regardless of how many, my heart is spoken for by God, and I'm giving it my 110% all to the Lord, and whatever he does with it, that's up to him. And I want to say, when Even in the homes, when we get to that place in the church, we get to that place in our own individual life, there is just a lift. The pressure's off. Because everything is in perspective. Things are being prioritized. There's times of stretching. I like what this, in fact, it was a movie star, Denzel Washington. I actually looked him up today, wanting to know his spiritual background, if he had any, had one. And it says that he's a Christian and struggled with years for being a preacher. I don't know how true that is or not. He said in a quote, "Be careful for praying for rain because there's always mud to deal with." How about that? We want the top. We want the rain. Listen, there's mud to deal with when it rains. And so this brings everything in perspective. Home, at the home, our own personal homes, I'm saying, at church and ministries and life in general, prioritize, stretch, but continue in spite of the mud you may have to go through. Because things get muddy at times, but guess what? That just means it's raining. It means it's raining. All right. Well, we'll conclude there for tonight. That's just three essentials for the new year. Just prioritizing life. Stretching and continuing. Three simple things, yet so profound. So seems challenging to follow through with every day. Did everybody or most everybody get a copy of the list? Okay. I see some out there with copies. All right. I'm pretty sure everybody's aware of the different ministries and all and the folks we have. And again, this list is it doesn't hold everybody on it. But let's be conscious about everybody who has a part here at the church, at the home. And I tell you, all that would, I know we did it Sunday night, but let's just end the service tonight with all coming down by the altar or just, you know, finding you a quiet place that you want to pray. And that's how we'll conclude tonight, just having a time of prayer together here on the altar. I'll lead us in prayer, but then I want to ask Brother Allen if he would, whenever I end, if you would pray, and then when Brother Allen gets through, we'll all be dismissed. So all that would, meet us down here in the altar tonight.